So this morning I'm going to share with you about our election, but I want you to know that if you're wanting me to endorse your candidate, you're going to be really disappointed, okay? But I do want to say to you, please don't write me. Please don't email me or text me or whatever, okay? What I want you to do is I just want you to take what the Lord has given to me and I'm going to give to you, and then I just want you to mull around and meditate on it and do with it what God wants you to do, okay? I do want to tell you, though, I want to remind you, please make sure you vote. I believe that it is part of our responsibility as followers of Christ. And if you want to know how you should vote, what I would say to you is follow your conscience. We're held accountable for what we do. And I also want to remind you, though, we're not electing a spiritual leader. What we are doing is we're electing someone that is going to direct the nation in the way that hopefully what God wants us to go. There are three things that I think should be important to all Christians, wherever we go, that are not what I believe, but are what the Bible tells us. And that is, I should say I do believe it, but it's because the Bible tells us. But those are, number one is abortion. We have to address that issue. The second one is the family. God's told us what a family is, and we've got to defend what the family is. And the third one is religious freedoms. I want to continue to be able to do what I do. I want to bring more and more people into the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But please make sure you vote. And in the end, I want you to be reminded of this. There isn't anything that happens on the face of this earth that doesn't first filter through the fingers of God. And so no matter what happens on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we find out, I want you to remember this. God is still on his throne, and he is orchestrating everything according to his plan and his ways. Amen? All right, now, I did just say, I put some guides on there that if you're wanting to find out more information about what different parties believe and what Christian people are saying about how we should vote, you can go to those and you can find out, okay? All right, you ready? So all my life, I will tell you that I have been a Green Bay Packer fan and a Nebraska Cornhusker fan. And people will say to you, well, how did you become that fan? Well, I lived in Nebraska for a while. My dad, my family grew up in Nebraska, and you know what? A lot of my family still lives there. And then I lived in Wisconsin for 11 or 12 years of my life, and I became a fan of those because, well, my dad was, and then I passed it on to my kids. I don't know if it stuck or not, but I passed it on to them, okay? Now, I will tell you, if you know anybody who knows me, I will tell you that they will say, I'm not just a fan, I'm a fanatic. Sometimes to my detriment, right, dear? You didn't have to do that so enthusiastically. But here's what I believe. I'm a loyalist, and I believe I'm going to be loyal to my team, and I want people to be loyal to me also. But here's what I did. I've always rooted and I've always cheered for my team with great enthusiasm and passion. But I've been with them through the good times and the bad times. I've been with them when they've won the Super Bowls, but I've been with them when they've lost bad. I've been with them when they won the national championship, but I've been with them when they had the bad seasons. I have never wavered. You know what drives me nuts? Fair weather fans. You know what I'm talking about. Those people that all of a sudden when their team is winning, they come out of the woodwork, right? Or this is what really gets me. When people say, I say to them, why do you like that team? And they say, well, because I like the colors of their uniform. I am a diehard fan. And then something happened. My son interned with the Tennessee Titans when I wore their colors. And then he worked for the San Francisco 49ers, and I wore their colors and rooted for them passionately. And now he works for the Kansas Jayhawks, and I proudly wear the crimson and the blue. Now, some people would say to me, well, what happened? What made you change? And here's what I would tell you. It's the jersey that I wear that is closest to my heart. It's called love. Here's what I want you to remember. The relationship has more value than the colors I wear. I want to say that again. The relationship that I have is much more valuable than the colors I wear. And so with that in mind, I want to ask you this question. why in the world would I allow an earthly thing to divide something that is eternal? Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from John chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 20 and verses 21. This is Jesus talking. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Okay, he's talking about us there. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. So that the world will believe that you sent me. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, as your church, and may we as this congregation, may we be one as you and Jesus, your son, are one. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in the verses that I just read, Jesus says something very, very important. You realize what he said? This is what he says. On the night before he died, he makes it very clear that you and I were on his mind. I just want to let that sink in a little bit. Jesus, the Son of God, you know what that means? That means that Jesus was thinking about you. And yes, he is the Son of God. And because of that, he can be thinking of everybody in the world individually and at the same time be thinking of everybody in the world. He's the Son of God. And the Bible makes it crystal clear from the words of Jesus himself. He was thinking about us. And the topic that he's referring to is our oneness. Our unity is what's on his mind. And then he tells us the reason for the prayer, or I might say for the concern. And you know what it is? Authenticity. Authenticity. Watch this. Our unity authenticates the identity of Christ. Here's what I want you to remember. What we learn from the scriptures is that our ability to be united, our oneness, now listen, gives credibility to the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that our ability to get along, our ability to love one another authenticates the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we get along, when we are one, it makes a difference, Jesus tells us. Let me prove it to you. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. God is about oneness because he is one. Amen? And then we have someone called the devil, Satan. And you know what he does? He tries to shut us down. And you know how he shuts us down? He divides us. He's no dummy. Because he knows that when he divides us, he renders us helpless. And when we are helpless, when we are all alone, guess what? That's when he knows he can conquer and defeat us. This should not surprise us, right? I mean, we are living our Courage Over Fear series. I want to show you some pictures. I want you to look at these, okay? Here we go. There's one. There's another. There's another. There's another. One more. What do all these pictures have in common? They're all tools that the devil is using to divide us. Are you kidding me, Pastor Bob? Yes, Satan uses God's word to divide us. Satan is using the flag to divide us. All of these are tools that Satan is using to divide us. Remember the prayer that Jesus prayed? That's why Jesus prayed the prayer. Because he knew that this kind of stuff was going to happen. He knew that Satan was going to work with all of his might to divide us, because then he can destroy us. So with that, I want you to read this statement with me. Your party, your candidate, will win or lose based upon how Americans will vote on Tuesday, November 3rd. Now watch this. The church wins or loses. Our nation wins or loses. Our community wins or loses based upon how we treat each other and love each other every day of the week. Amen. When Jesus put us in the world, he gave us a message, and that message was given to us to change the world. And it's all based on our oneness, on our unity. And so amongst our diversity, Jesus is telling us that we have to fight. We have to do everything we can to be one. Why do we let politics divide us? Why does politics divide us? You know why? Because we've learned this. Because at the core of division is fear. You know why we're divided as a nation? Fear. It's Satan's favorite tool to use, because fear paralyzes. Now you may say, so what are we afraid of in this nation? Here's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of the unknown. You're afraid of losing what you have. You're wondering, what's going to happen to my stocks? What's going to happen to my lifestyle? What's going to happen to me? I don't know. And see, that's Satan's goal. Because when he gets you start thinking about yourself and he moves you away from everyone, that's when he comes to destroy you. So this is the question I want us to ask this morning. Here it is. Can you love someone unconditionally and disagree with them politically? Okay, so I'm going to ask you that question. I want you to answer me. Can you love someone unconditionally and disagree with them politically? What's your answer? Yes. Yes. We can do that, right? We're all individuals. We all come from different cultural backgrounds. And based upon where I come from has a lot to do with how I think about things now, right? And then Jesus comes into the world and he says, I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you came from slavery. I don't care if you came from a wealthy family. When you come from your cultural background, I, Jesus, make all things new. And that's why it doesn't matter where we come from. We have to understand, try and look at each other where we've come from. But Jesus Christ makes everything new. And this is what the world is afraid of that could possibly happen. I want to show you a couple of verses here in the Bible. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And then one more verse. This is my life verse. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Two things that we need to learn from the scriptures that the scriptures teach us. Number one, you don't belong to you. This body that you have, it's not yours. The Bible tells us you were bought with a price. And you know who paid that price? His name is Jesus. And you know what the price was? His blood. He gave his life for you. That's the first thing you need to understand. And so according to this, when I hear people on the TV or whatever and say, this is my body, I can do with it what I want, not according to the Bible. The Bible says your body's the temple of God. No, it does not belong to you. It belongs to him. So what does God say? He says, honor God with your body. And then the second thing he tells us this. Your identity is in Christ. It's not about what you do. It's not about who you know. It's about whose you are. And you belong to Jesus. You're not your own. You were paid with for a price. The price was the blood of Jesus. And now your identity is in Jesus himself. So you know what that makes us all? We all have a divine nature. Do you understand that? You have a divine nature. You and I are a picture of what Jesus looks like to the world. But not only that, we are also a picture of what Jesus looks like in the world. Do you understand that? So let me just ask you this question. Look to the person on your right, and I want you to say, you are divine. Okay, so if they're a divine nature, you need to look at them and say, you know what? You look really good. And then look to the person on the other side and say, you look even better. Now, if that's true, can you imagine what you look like to the rest of us? This is the part that we have to grasp, and this is the most important thing that Jesus wants us to understand. That he loved us and he bought us with his body, with his blood. And the moment that we received and we asked Jesus to live in our lives, God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, took up residence in our hearts. Huh. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So now all of a sudden, Jesus comes to his disciples. There's about 120 of them. They're all gathered together. He's getting ready to go, and this is what he says. A new commandment I give you. What? Yeah, a new commandment I give you. Let's look and see what that commandment is. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, I want you to grasp this, okay? Jesus is telling us that our unity is found in the gospel. But he's telling us that this law of Christ, that when we love one another the way Jesus loved us, we demonstrate to the world that we belong to Jesus. Do you understand how important our unity is? Jesus tells us, when you love one another the way I have loved you, you demonstrate to the rest of the world that you belong to me. Case in point, there are individuals that I know, I see you, who are here today, that this is the first time they've been to the church. Same thing happened in first service. They've been checking us out. They've been watching us online. Some of these individuals have come to a ministry like Girls You're Enough or some other ministry here at the church, and they've heard about Jesus. But you know why they're here? Because they want to find out about his church. When they come in here, according to what we just read, who do you think they're looking at? They're not looking at Pastor George. They're not looking at TJ. They're not looking at me. You know who they're looking at? They're looking at you. What do you think they're looking for? They're looking for the proof. They're looking for the proof that we belong to Jesus. And what did Jesus say was the proof? When you love one another the way I have loved you, you demonstrate to the rest of the world, you belong to me. That's what they're hoping to find. Because most people in the world, nobody has a problem with Jesus. The problem that they have is the church. Why? Because the church looks so much like the world. The night when we had our candy rush was absolutely phenomenal. What you saw in there was nothing compared to what happened after dark. When dark came, I'm telling you, I thought it was like our Thanksgiving thing. And you know what? I was just walking around people and I was waving and saying hi to them. And I had some conversations with some people and everybody was thanking us for doing this. But here's what somebody said to us. This sure is a friendly church. I'm gonna come. I'm gonna come on Sunday to see what it's like. Another person asked me, so why are you doing this? I mean, they had to go back for candy three different times. They ran out. Why are you doing this? You know what our answer was? Because we want the world to know, we want our community to know that kids matter to us. You see, my friends, when we love each other, we give credibility to the message of the gospel. And who doesn't want to be a part of something like that? The success of the gospel is built upon our ability to get along. Our unity, remember, is found in it, revolves around Jesus. So let me just ask you a question. If that's true, why would we allow something like a political view to divide us? I mean, why would we do that? Instead, you know what we're supposed to be doing? We should love one another. We should fight for one another. We should struggle for what Jesus prayed for, right? Almost done. Here's the question. Are you willing to put Jesus ahead of your political party? We have to fight to keep from dividing. So the question is, so how can I disagree with somebody politically, but love unconditionally and at the same time pray for unity? You know what the answer to that question is? It's all about your filter, and this must be your filter. This is how you position your heart, because I don't care if you're a Democrat or I don't care if you're Republican. Everybody's using the same verses, but here's the problem. They're using the verses in Bible to authenticate their message, and that's not how we're supposed to use the Bible. The Bible comes first. Let me give you one example of what that looks like, okay? A real quick one. It takes place in the book of Mark. And the Pharisees, who are part of the Pharisaic party, will say, okay? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to trick Jesus. And they're trying to trick Jesus with his own word. Stupid men. And this is what they say to him. Listen to what they say. Some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife? And Jesus answered them with the question, well, what did Moses say about the law of divorce? Well, he permitted it, they replied. He said a man can give his wife a written notice of divorce, and then he can send her away. Now, you remember what Jesus said then, right? Jesus said, he took them all the way back to the book of Genesis. And I want you to understand something. Jesus is never politically correct. He is always just correct. And when they tried to weasel him, here's what he said. He took him all the way back to the book, Genesis 2:24, and he said this. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one. They are no longer two, but they are one. And then remember what it says? What God has joined together, let man not separate. Here's the message. Democrats will come and go, and Republicans will come and go, but God's word is forever. Here we go. Paul, the Apostle Paul now was speaking. He says, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. Did you see what he says there? I become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, remember that, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. Here's what Paul's saying. Before I came and had a divine revelation with the Lord Jesus Christ, he messed up the church bad. You remember, he went out and his goal was to destroy the church. Satan says, this is one of my boys. He was the baddest of the baddest dudes. And you know what? He even approved of murder. He was a murderer. And you would think, man, this guy's a tool in the hand of Satan. But you know what Jesus said? Ah, that's my boy. Get your hands off him. And what did he do? Jesus went to him and he called him and he said, Paul, you are going to be my representative to the Gentiles. So you know what Paul did? So that he didn't waste any time, he gave up everything. He abandoned everything he had for one purpose, to win people to Jesus Christ. If that were our purpose, all we cared about were souls of people, we would do the same thing. And then Paul tells us a little bit about what he did. When I was with the Jews, even though I'm no longer under their law, you know what? I know their law. I know their customs. I never did anything to offend them. I did not sin, but I didn't do anything to offend them. And then he says this, and when I was with the Gentiles, I know their rules. I know their beliefs. You know what? I never did anything to offend them. Now, the question I hope you're asking is this, why, Paul? Why would you not do any of those things that you know you have a right to do? And here's what he says, because I don't want the gospel door of Jesus Christ to ever be closed to anyone because of my actions. Go back to the things that divide us. What is it that you are doing or are not willing to do because you have rights? And the scriptures tell us we don't have any rights. We don't live under the law anymore. We live according to the law of Christ. And what's the law of Christ? You know what it is? Love one another as I have loved you. So with my actions, I'm not going to do anything that would offend you and keep you from coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't care how uncomfortable it makes me feel. I don't care how much I hate it, because I am a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing that matters, I'm not going to sin, but on my watch, I'm not going to do anything that could offend someone and keep them coming to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying. And so he says, I'm not going to live under the law. I'm going to respect God's law, but I'm not going to live under the law. I'm not going to live under the Torah. I'm not going to live under the 600 some rules. But I'm going to respect who they are, and I'm going to be a door through which they can see Jesus. And the same thing with the Gentiles. Now watch this. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. All right, if we can understand this, we're going to get it. Here's what it is. We know that the greatest burden bearer is Jesus Christ, right? This means yes. He bore our burdens on the cross. He took my sin upon him. God may discipline me, but I will never pay the price for my sins because Jesus paid it for me. Because of that, the Holy Spirit's taken up residence in me. That's the seal. That's the guarantee. I know where I'm going. But Jesus teaches us something else here. He teaches us that when we bear one another's burdens, what we're actually doing is this, we're obeying the law of Christ. In other words, we're loving other people the way Christ loved us. Now, don't miss this point. You know what the result of that is when that happens? Unity. Oneness. The Bible teaches us that when we put others before ourselves and we demonstrate love for them, we become a burden bearer. It brings us together. In a few weeks, we're going to have an opportunity to bear the burdens of a lot of people who won't have food for Thanksgiving. And as we bear this burden for others together, you know what this is going to do to us? The Bible says it's going to unify us. It's going to make us one. Isn't that something? We can vote for different candidates. We can come from different backgrounds. We can have different color of skin. But when we obey the law of Christ, it makes us one. And that's what Satan does not want to happen. And my dear friends in Christ, that's why we can't allow this election to divide us. We can't stop our eyes at the White House. We have to go beyond that to the throne room of God who is sitting on the throne. This mission is critical. Our unity in Jesus changes the world. So you remember that when Jesus came into the world and when he was getting ready to leave, he told his disciples, he said, okay, guys, listen to me. He goes, I get it. You all come from different backgrounds, but here's the thing I need you to do. I need you to go back to Jerusalem. I need you just to wait. And while you wait there, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And then what I want you to do is I just want you to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and do whatever he leads you to do. And you know what happened? The church grew, right? Why did the church grow? Because the book of Acts tells us there was one message, there was one purpose, and it was Jesus Christ. And because of that, they were so unified together that they grew and grew and grew. That's the message that I want you to hear today. Satan is trying to keep us from what God has for us. And while he divides us, we fall into the trap. Take your eyes off him. Take your eyes off of Biden. Take your eyes off of Trump and focus on Jesus. And as we do that, we're going to come and we're going to be strong and mighty. So here's how we're going to do it. I am so proud of Cargill and Pastor Aaron and many others who worked hard. Cargill is partnering with us and they're donating all the turkeys. Isn't that awesome? Do you see what happens when we come together and we are unified? The world takes notice and they want to be a part of that. That's what you just witnessed there. So now here's our part. It's gonna be harder this year, guys. Right now, there should be something online that's going to help you because we've got 1,500 bags. And the problem this year is that some of the stores like Walmart and things like that, they're not sure that they can get all of the food that we need to have at one time, so they're not going to put up a display. So we've got to go and we've got to be intentional because there are families here, and I think there's going to be more there this year than ever before because of what we're going through in this pandemic. And you know what, you guys, they're depending on us. Every meal, $15, feeds 4 to 6 people. So if you can't take a bag and fill it, you know what, you can go online and you can pay $15 and that $15 buys a meal for a family. There are bags out there, and you can pick one up as you go. We're going to leave these bags up here. You can come and get them if you want to. But here's the thing that I want you to remember. Next week when we gather together, some of us are going to be pretty excited because our candidate won. And there are going to be the rest of us who are going to be disappointed because our candidate didn't win. The importance of us moving forward as a church is being able to look beyond this election and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Because it doesn't matter who's in the White House. God can cause a king's mind to move in ways that you could ever think or imagine. And so because of that, whatever happens, I'm still going to vote. I'm going to do my responsibility. But in the end, I'm going to do my part. But then I'm going to trust and remember that God's on his throne and he's still in control. Remember, one message, one purpose, and what does it bring about? Unity. And there's power in numbers. That's God's word for us today. And I promise you, as you go out this week, your furnace is probably going to break. Your car is going to break down. You're going to have every reason not to give this week. But I want to remind you, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And you can't ever outgive him. So as a church, let's come together. Let's be united amongst our diversity. And let's celebrate Jesus. Because it makes the rest of the world stand up and know Jesus is exactly who he says he is.